Attention.
We're ready.
Attention.
I said we're ready. 100%.
Please let us have your attention.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
The Jarrett Payton Podcast.
Get ready for a lot of fun and excitement.
On WGNplus.com.
Yes!
Boy, good.
Sports.
Sports.
Three.
Life.
Two.
And everything in between.
One.
It's time to get this.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Jarrett Payton.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody, to Sports, Life, and Everything in Between. Yes, this is something that is pretty close to my heart. The good people over at WGN Radio, they have given me so many different platforms to showcase my passion. This is a new baby. This is the pod. This is something that you'll be able to slice up into three different servings for your listening enjoyment. You'll be able to check this out on WGNplus.com and get all the ones after that. My first interview, you had to do something special. You might know him from A Tribe Called Quest or on the East Coast, Queens in the building. You already know what's going down. A good friend of mine, the man, the myth, the legend, Fife Dawg. Fife, what's going on, man? You good?
What up, fam? How you?
Man, I can't complain, man. You know, watching some football, getting into some football this week and looking what happened on Monday night, a great national championship game. I know you are a Buckeyes fan. So your thoughts on the college football playoffs and the national championship game Monday night?
One, I'm elated. The only team I was really scared of going into the playoffs was Alabama. I felt like if we could get past them, we could beat Oregon because, to me, Oregon wasn't physical enough for what we brought to the table. You know, Ezekiel Elliott and then the defense and then Cardell, big man Jones. You know what I mean? So I was really elated to see that we really put it on them like that. And then as far as the playoffs, I thought the committee got it right, you know, but I think it would be even better if they were able to add six or maybe eight teams to the whole playoffs. So you take the Fiesta Bowl. You take two teams from the Fiesta, two teams from the Orange Bowl, two teams from the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and then you have the Nationals. And then you go like that, battle it out, and then you have the National Championship. I think that would be really, really fun, really fly, because there's so many teams that deserve at least a shot. You know what I mean? Including TCU and Baylor, they have to have that championship game in the Big 12 Conference for them to even be mentioned. Yeah. So shout out to Mark May with all the hating. You know what I mean? I understand. Now you eat crow, got the egg on your face. It's all good.
But hold up, Fife, we gotta be honest with the people out there though. Baylor and TCU were not beating Ohio State if they had a chance to play them. It's not happening. They could be in the conversation. I don't see both of those teams of who they played all year long. Basically, they played each other, and that was the best game that they played the entire year. The way that they're set up, pretty similar and not so close to Oregon, but that same exact kind of spread offense, I just don't see them even matching up to Ohio State if they had a chance to be able to take out Oregon in that game. I still think you place both of them in that game, I think they both get waxed against Ohio State.
I agree, but you know, when they saw that we had I was about to say Terrell Pryor, great, but when Braxton Miller went out, they gave us no chance. JT Barrett did his thing when he broke his leg against Michigan; they gave us no chance. And even up until about to play Bama, they gave us no chance. So once we put it on. Once we put it on Wisconsin, though, they were like, because we didn't just put it on them, we dropped a bagel on them. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it was 21-3 or 21-10, 28-24, 35-31. It was 59-0. So they knew we meant business. They knew Darren Lee meant business. They knew, Raekwon McMillan meant business. They knew Joey. They always knew Joey Bosa and Bennett meant business. But the defense got much better, and Cardell Jones just brought it home, man. So once we beat Bama, I knew we was home free like a bird, baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You look at what happened with Braxton Miller, Heisman hopeful at the beginning of the year. He gets hurt. And then you talked about giving no chance, and then JT Barrett comes in, plays out of his mind. He's in the conversation of the Heisman. I thought if he didn't get hurt, he should have been in New York at the festivities. Maybe not won it, but he should have been there. And then you look at Cardell Jones come in and play and win a national title and kind of being in that third position where you're talking about maybe just doing scout team. You're getting scout team reps. You win a national championship. What happens with the quarterback situation at Ohio State next year?
Well, I heard rumors that Braxton Miller may transfer to Florida State. I heard Duke as well and a few other schools. But if he decides to stay at Ohio State, I'm thinking maybe he should change position. You know what I mean? Because he ran the option well. He ran, you know, he ran the ball a lot while at Ohio State. So I could see him playing a little running back or something like that. He's big enough or tall enough, long enough to play wide receiver or something like that. You never know. You never know. Maybe I'm crazy for saying that, but you never know. And then with Cardell Jones, I don't really see three games as being enough to say, okay, jump into the league. Despite the three games being huge three games, a huge three games, Big Ten championship, Sugar Bowl, against a team that definitely you can't label chumps. You know what I mean? Three titles in 5 years. Alabama's no joke. He did his thing against them, and then he won the national title against Oregon. At the same time, he had a lot of help with the damage that Ezekiel Elliott was doing. He ran for like over 600 yards in those three games. You know what I mean? So I think it'll be best for Cardell to do another year, you know, at Ohio State. However, my favorite quarterback out of all three of them is really JT Barrett, because I just think he could do it all. I was really impressed with him. You know what I mean? So it's a good problem to have, being that you're coming off of a national championship, and I'm sure they're recruiting one or two more quarterbacks. Oh, it's going to be lovely next year, man. I'm not going to brag and say we're going to repeat, because it's very difficult to do, and anything can happen in college sports, basketball and football. But I sure see us being in the thick of things once again.
Now you got Jim Harbaugh coming to the Big House, and now he's going to come in, and kids are going to want to go to Michigan too. How do you see the inserting Jim Harbaugh into the Big Ten kind of changed the recruiting cycle of what's going on in the Big Ten?
I love it for the conference on a whole. I definitely love it for the rivalry that Ann Arbor versus Columbus or vice versa. Horseshoe versus Big House, however you want to label it. But recruiting for Ohio State will get a little more difficult than what it was for Urban's first couple of years or even Jim Tressel's years. But I like it like that, because now I don't have to hear my friends in Michigan, Detroit, or Flint, or wherever, crying about not being what they used to be. Because, you know, they've been on the downward spiral since Charles Woodson left, with the exception of when my man Mike Hart was there. And, you know, I think that was like 06, and they were number two. We were number one when we met each other. That was a great game as well. But, you know, I don't have to hear them crying any longer. So I'm real happy for Michigan getting Harbaugh. They made the right choice. I knew he was going to go there, because being out here in the Bay Area, I saw all the drama that Harbaugh was going through, and then Alden Smith with his foolishness, and then Bowman was hurt, and Patrick Willis was hurt. And then, you know, you got to think, he takes them three straight NFC championships, and the GM is giving him BS all the time. You know what I mean? So I knew he was going to take that job at his alma mater. So I'm happy for Michigan. I'm happy for the conference. But it will make recruiting a little bit difficult for Ohio State. But we ain't running. We right here, baby. November 28th, 2015, Ann Arbor. Let's get it. Yes, sir.
Talking sports with my man Fife Dawg here on Sports Life and Everything in Between, the podcast. Now let's switch over to the NBA. Why is everybody sleeping on the Atlanta Hawks, man? Are you sleeping on them too?
Yeah, I am. I'm not going to lie. You know, I still have a home in Atlanta. I moved there back in like 93. And ever since they traded Dominique to the Clippers for Danny Manning, it's almost like the curse of the Chicago Cubs or something. You know what I'm saying? And they always look good to start the season, but they always, you know, pretty much nosedive when they really need to step it up. However, I have to admit, it's a little different this year. They look really, really good, but I don't see them coming out of the East. Like, honestly, I just don't.
When you look at the East, everybody here in Chicago is excited about the moves that the Bulls have made. And a lot of focus has been on Derrick Rose and can he stay healthy for a long period of time. I think everybody, when he steps on the court, are crossing their fingers, hoping that he doesn't get hurt. But now I know people are crossing their fingers and hoping that he can come around full circle and his game will do the same. Do you see him ever getting back, Fife, to that MVP form?
I think he can. I really think he can. I mean, I don't know what his doctors are telling him or what have you. But what I like about his game right now, because, you know, before he got hurt for those two seasons, he just went one pace. Speedy Gonzalez, the whole nine. And he's the type of player that cuts on the dime, things of that nature. Right now, he's pacing himself. So it could very well be a blessing in disguise. Not to mention the way that his backcourt mate is playing, Jimmy Butler. I think the Chicago Bulls have a very good chance to come out of the East right now because of the way that backcourt is coming together. Pau Gasol is having one of his best seasons ever. I like that guy.
Yeah, Mirotić.
Yo, he got game. He's nice.
The thing about Mirotić is, which is cool, you're starting to see, is with Tom Thibodeau, he doesn't always like to play young guys, even though he's not a rookie, he is a rookie in the NBA. So he doesn't always like to play rookies, but we're starting to see he's actually trusting him enough to be able to close out games. He's in the fourth quarter. To me, he's starting to get a little bit more comfortable with having Mirotić in the game, which we're only going to see him just kind of evolve, which is going to be great for this Bulls team.
And then I wish there was a way they were able to keep Luol Deng, because then you definitely get defense. You definitely get easily 13 to 15 points from him, some rebounds, some hustle. And then, of course, Joakim Noah, that's my favorite player on the Bulls. So I think they have a good chance to come out of the East. All Dunleavy has to do is knock down those shots that he used to knock down back in college, and you guys might be on to something out there.
Talking with Fife Dawg here on Sports Life and Everything in Between, the podcast. LeBron back on the court last night, looked good. But what do you make of all these people, these haters out here saying that LeBron James is past his prime?
They don't know basketball. They really don't know basketball. They don't understand that basketball is about rhythm. Basketball is about chemistry. That's just hate. You know what I'm saying? You know, maybe Miami fans hating that he left, or maybe fans just hating that they saw him in four finals in a row, or whatever the case may be. I don't know, but LeBron hasn't lost nothing. I'm telling you right now. It's just a matter of, you know, okay, this is a brand new coach. He's won multiple championships overseas, but I'm sorry, that's overseas. It's just like with D'Antoni, you know, they talk about he was the Jordan of Italy, and he was a great coach in Italy, but that's Italy. You know what I'm saying? This is the NBA, man. You know what I mean? And I think David Black, I think that was the wrong choice, to be honest. They needed to go with a George Karl or something like that. Somebody who's been through the for real playoff grind. You know, he was there with Seattle and Milwaukee and, you know what I mean, Denver. You know what I'm saying? So I think George Karl would have been a good choice for Cleveland, but, you know, I just don't trust Black being that he's a newcomer in the NBA. And I think that's really the problem right now in Cleveland.
Fife, you got Bulls fans over here going, we're kind of glad that Melo didn't come to Chicago. When you look at what's going on in New York, the floor is yours, man. I'm going to give you like a minute or 2 minutes to talk about what's going on in New York.
What's going on in New York, I can't even tell you, man, but it's definitely not Melo's fault.
I know.
I will say that. We just have a horrible squad. I mean, season before last, we were number two in the East. But when they broke up that chemistry by going after Bonyani and then Stoudemire's never healthy, that was the downfall right there. I honestly thought Melo was going to go to Chicago until Phil Jackson decided to take over in New York. You know what I mean? I had a feeling he'd come back because of Phil Jackson. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what he did. Now, I mean, you know, Shumpert never came into his own. J.R. Smith hasn't played well since he was given the Sixth Man of the Year award season before last. We don't have a point guard that we can really brag about. And then Dellenbear, you know, Chandler leaves and Felton leaves, and that was pretty cool seeing Felton leave. But, you know, I knew we had to build from scratch. I knew we had to build from the ground up. I thought we'd be good enough to at least sneak into the eighth seed and make the playoffs, but this is just ridiculous. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But I definitely wouldn't blame it on Melo, and I wouldn't blame it on Derek Fisher either. We just don't have players for that triangle that they want to run. You know, the triangle in Chicago was perfect because you had the players. You had Mike. You had Scotty. And you had players who played their role. Horace Grant. And then the second three-peat, you had a Steve Kerr that could shoot the lights out of the ball. You had Mike. You had Scotty. You had Dennis Rodman. You had three Hall of Famers. You know what I mean? So the Knicks don't have no Hall of Famers right now. None.
Listen, I appreciate you as always, man. Thank you for jumping on Sports Life and everything in between. And anytime you want to voice what you got going on, you know you got a home here on this podcast, man.
Hey, yo, Bo knows this. What? And Bo knows that. What? But Bo don't know Jack. Because Bo can't rap. Well, what do you know? The dead dog is first up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No hope, boy. No time for move faking. Got to get to loose so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front.